Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, February 10, 2017. A top UN diplomat expresses concern over the continued spate of violence in parts of South Sudan.
And this is a pattern we seem to see happening in the Equatorial or in Western Bahar Ghazal. And meanwhile, the report of the recruitment and arming of the youth now in Greater Upper Nile continue.
And a spokesman for the United Nations mission in South Sudan says civilians in Upper Nile need urgent help.
Military operations on the west bank of the Nile River are taking place in an area where people predominantly from the Shilluk ethnic group live, forcing people out of their homes. The town of Wau Shilluk is now reported to be deserted.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Two people were killed and three others wounded yesterday after Imatong State Governor Narciso Loluke Monir was removed from office. Acting Governor Margaret Ito says clashes broke out at the governor's residence in the state capital Torit minutes after South Sudan Broadcasting Television aired a presidential decree relieving Governor Monir. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
President Salva Kiir sacked Imatong State Governor Narciso Loluke Monir and said his replacement will be Tobiolo Alberio, the former Eastern Equatoria State Assembly Speaker. Shortly after the announcement carried live on South Sudan Broadcasting Corporation, clashes erupted at Loluke's residence between his bodyguards and government soldiers, leaving two people dead and three others wounded. Tension remains high in the town. Shops, public offices and schools remain closed as the military patrol the streets. Acting Governor Margaret Ito says yesterday's violence was an isolated incident and calm has returned to Torit.
Changes in government come. It is normal. We all have to understand that. It is inevitable. When it comes, we take it normally because when the changes come, maybe it will be for the good also. For the good in a way, somebody who is removed from here may be given opportunity in another location as well.
But a Torit resident who did not want to be identified for fear of government reprisal says she does not feel safe. Speaking in Arabic, she says the violence erupted close to her home. She says since yesterday when the problem happened at night, she was not happy and did not sleep. She says her eyes remained just open, especially after hearing that people were shot. She questions for how long are they going to be in this situation. Even their children are living in fear, and any little noise scares them. Ito offered her condolences to the families whose loved ones were killed in the fighting.
I'm very sorry that the incident happened, and it is now calm. I'm very sorry for the lives lost and those who were injured. We send our condolences as government to the families of the bereaved.
Some Torit residents say Governor Monir promoted peace across the state, so they cannot understand why he was fired. Others, like resident Paul Bob, say they are not surprised.
To me personally, although there is some other challenges people are facing, I have to admit it. And we look also for the way how one is going to play also his role.
Torit resident Pons Bismarck says the new governor should listen to the concerns of ordinary citizens.
If you are new in the office, you need to actually follow how the community is supposed to actually to proceed with their life. Because if you come with a new idea in the office, then even the law people at the ground levels also they will face problems.
But Bismarck adds quickly that all Imatong State residents should abide by the changes made by President Kiir. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
The UN mission in South Sudan says it is concerned about recent fighting in parts of former Upper Nile State. UNMISS read a statement today saying thousands of civilians have fled their homes due to ongoing fighting between government forces and some elements of the armed opposition. Waki's Simon Wudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
This latest round of clashes between government and an anti-opposition group called the Agwelek occurred in Owachi and Tonga villages of Panyikan County, according to UNMISS spokesperson Daniel Dickinson.
What began with an exchange of fire between SPLA and Agwelek opposition forces has expanded geographically. Military resupplies have since been observed arriving in the area.
Dickinson says the violence, which began last week, caused humanitarian aid organizations to halt the operations in the area.
Military operations on the west bank of the Nile River are taking place in an area where people predominantly from the Shilluk ethnic group live, forcing people out of their homes. The town of Wau Shilluk is now reported to be deserted. Humanitarian workers have been evacuated and aid is not being provided.
Government and opposition officials accuse each other of starting the fighting. SPLA-IO military spokesperson Colonel William Gadjas says in a statement yesterday that anti-opposition forces acted in self-defense. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe accuses the anti-opposition of attacking government positions and says it's not the government's fault that some civilians may get killed.
It is the rebel forces that attack government positions. And there is no way whereby the government will fold its hands and then allow themselves to be attacked and be shot at and to be killed without defending themselves. And the civil population, of course, well, some of them may fall victims of that situation, but what can we do?
Rebel spokesperson Gadjas claims several government forces were killed in the fighting. He did not say how many, if any, rebel fighters have died in the past week's violence. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
A high-ranking UN official says government soldiers across the country are launching military operations and forcing entire communities to leave their areas in search of safety, leading him to believe that the risk of atrocities being committed in South Sudan remains high. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
The UN Special Advisor to the Secretary General on the Prevention of Genocide, Adama Dieng, said back in November that he was very concerned that South Sudan's conflict was at risk of sliding into genocide. Dieng says he is still worried about South Sudan, given the large number of weapons that continue to flow into the country.
We see the SPLA reinforcing its position throughout the country and launching military operations on the rebels when attacks occur, including reprisal and punishments against civilian communities believed to be their supporters.
Dieng says he's alarmed by the recent deadly violence in Kajokeji in central Equatoria, where civilians told United Nations personnel they are fleeing the area because they feel extremely vulnerable.
What is happening now is you have these, I would say, localized SPLA attacks when they have indication that the rebels are in such an area. When the rebels attack in Area X, they immediately also react.
Dieng says innocent, unarmed civilians continue to bear the burden when these kinds of clashes erupt.
And this is a pattern which we seem to see happening in the Equatorial or in Western Bahar Ghazal. And meanwhile, the reports of the recruitment and arming of Dinka youth now in Greater Upper Nile continue, which make me fear new spike of violence in the jungle and Upper Nile areas in the coming months.
At least 1.5 million South Sudanese refugees have fled to other countries. An additional 2 million are displaced in South Sudan. Last year, UNHCR made an urgent appeal for another $649 million to help the people of South Sudan. Only 33% of that request was met. The UN says this year they will need at least $782 million for regional operations in and around South Sudan. Ayen Bior, VOA News, Washington.
Some women in Juba welcome President Salva Kiir's order to kill suspected rapists, saying it is long overdue and will reduce incidents of sexual violence. Others say killing rapists will not end the violence against women. The women say rapists should be arrested, tried in court of law, and if convicted, jailed for several years so that others are deterred from committing rape. Michael Atit has this report for VOA from Juba.
President Kiir reiterated his shot to kill order of rapists to military and security officials while visiting the devastated town of Yei this week. He was there to reassure residents that the government is determined to restore peace in the area. At a public rally in Yei organized by the government, Mr. Kiir said he had received numerous reports of women and girls being raped by the government soldiers in Yei and other parts of the country. Speaking in Arabic, the president ordered military officials to kill any soldier found guilty of committing sexual violence against women or girls.
If a soldier raped a woman or a girl,
if a soldier raped a woman or a girl, he is to be shot with a bullet in his head in front of the public. From now onwards, I want to hear a report from the concerned authorities of the army that so and so did this and we have killed him.
Mr. Kiir says that many incidents of rape have been reported during the ongoing conflict have not been planned by the government. He says individual soldiers accused of rape must take responsibility for their deeds. Vivian Benjamin Luoki, a woman rights activist in Juba, embraces the president's order, saying thousands of women and girls in South Sudan have been raped and the perpetrators go unpunished.
Had it to happen earlier, all these things wouldn't have taken place. It will even make the men now to start fearing. So I'm sure this violence against women, especially in the rape case, is going to reduce a lot. And that's one of the things that we really, as women, want to hear about it. Imagine you have a daughter of 2 years or 1.5 years. Somebody comes and rape. If you're a real mother or being a father, how will you feel?
But Juba resident Abor Mabian Nial says killing rapists does not solve the problem. She says it only leads to loss of more lives. Nial suggests that a man who commits rape should be tried in a court of law and locked up.
There's no need for killing people. Yeah, they did bad thing by going around raping the girls and the women. They should be caught and taken to the jail to get punished instead of killing. It will reduce actually, because if they go around, they say, and they catch people and they take to the jail, then they will have fear that if I do this, then I maybe get myself into jail.
Khatmala Kenneth Kumyange, a mother of two, says she opposes killing of rapists. Speaking in Arabic, Kumyange says rapists should be sent to prison. But she admits many rapists often get released from prison after only a few days because of corrupt government officials.
Earlier in the previous regime, people who commit such kind of serious crimes are put in prison and they stay there for life. But now, a criminal can be jailed today. 2 days later, he is out. This is what is facing our citizens in South Sudan.
Another Juba resident, Victoria Andrea Hassan, agrees rapists should not be killed but sentenced to prison. Speaking in Arabic, Andrea says when the law is implemented, fewer people will commit criminal acts such as rape.
They should not be killed because they have the spirit of God. Let them be tried in the court of law and taken to prison. They can be imprisoned for 5 to 6 years, then they can come out. I don't think they can go and commit crimes again.
The United Nations mission in South Sudan reported in mid-January that it has recorded more than 200 rape cases between July 2016 and January 2017. The report calls on the government to ensure perpetrators of sexual violence are made to account for their actions to ensure justice for victims, and to deter South Sudanese men from committing rape. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at South Sudanese youth working for peaceful coexistence. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there one song that you love to sing? What is it? Sing a little for us.
I stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you want to. It's a gospel song that just says every time you're in God's presence, you're just amazed. There's nothing he can't do.
My favorite song is John Legend, All of Me. Let me sing the chorus. All of me loves all of you.
A song that I'd love to sing is Circle of Life, that was sung in The Lion King, the first movie. So the beginning goes, Natimenya sebabisi babayo siyo gwenyama.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese activists are calling on youth to work together to heal the social and ethnic division caused by the war that has been raging across the country. Dozens of young activists vote today at a roundtable discussion in Juba to fight hate speech and to promote a culture of love and peace. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio has more from Juba.
Bunji Repitelado, director of the youth group Humanity South Sudan, which organized today's event, says the war that broke out in 2013 and surged again in July last year has threatened to destroy the social fabric of South Sudan.
In the last 3 months, in South Sudan generally, there was a problem of huge differences between the communities. There's instigation of conflict through hatred. The conflict has made, in fact, our general situation become very fragile. And even our public institutions, which are supposed to be public institutions that promote peace, have ventured into the issue of promoting hate.
Adongwe Daniel Alich is a peace officer at Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, or CEPO. Alich says ethnic diversity has become the main cause of communal violence.
Ethnic associations I'm seeing nowadays as the avenue where, or avenues where the people with the ill intentions promote hatred among ethnic members.
Alich says the fact that South Sudan has more than 60 tribes should be celebrated and used to promote development. Instead, he says, politicians have used South Sudan's tribal lines to turn the nation against itself so that they can retain power.
When politicians are looking for power, they struggle by all means so that they say anything against other ethnic groups so that their communities rally behind them.
Flavia Lisok, secretary of local NGO Youth for Peaceful Coexistence, says many cultural norms are based on tribal traditions, but that can change.
Culture was created by people and it can be changed by people. It means culture should be cultivated. There are other cultures that we can live according to, but there are other cultures that we need to change positively in order to fit us and to make life easy for us.
Lisok says one example of that is the tradition of resorting to excessive violence to punish social mishaps against people from other tribes.
The issue of beating, when a person impregnates your daughter, you end up beating the person to the extent of killing the person. It is going to cause hatred among the two communities, of which there is a need for a revenge to those ones who don't have the heart of forgiveness.
Obali Isaac, director of Youth Vision South Sudan, says young South Sudanese must use their creativity to turn culture and religion into tools for achieving peace.
I recommend that more commissions or platforms with imaginations and maybe creativity should be involved in employing cultural and religious symbolisms, of course, to embrace the Christian's mission of reconciling people, and so that together all we become builders of peace and we live in peace.
The roundtable participants also resolved to avoid grouping themselves based solely on tribe and to discourage hate speech on social media sites such as Facebook, which they say has become a common tool for spreading hate. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
South Sudanese in Uganda say the initiative by President Kiir to start a national dialogue presents a good step in the right direction. Some of the Sudanese say the president must not lead the process. Simon Peter Apiku has more for VOA from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
President Kiir announced the national dialogue will begin in early March and will be led by a committee he formed last December that includes politicians, religious leaders, civil society groups, and independent think tanks. Benny Gideon, a Uganda-based South Sudanese human rights lawyer, says if the dialogue is to be meaningful, it must include discussions on some of the most contentious issues in the country.
It is going to provide an independent platform for a honest conversation between the government and the citizen so that issues affecting life, issues of leadership crisis, issues of constitutional governance and democratization processes are discussed and materially addressed.
Pastor Joseph Simba of the Anglican clergy, who heads the South Sudanese International Christian Fellowship Church in Uganda, says the initiative is a good start, but just a start.
A national dialogue is good when people come together, accept themselves. They say, we are sorry, we apologize, and we want to continue to go forward.
Reverend Simba says it has to be more than talk this time, adding the South Sudanese people have suffered for far too long.
My heart is broken. I've just been telling to our people in the church, my heart is just turned upside down when I just look to our people who are still suffering. Not in the camps, here in Uganda also, in Kenya, in Kakuma, so many places I've been there. It's not good, I'm telling you.
Earlier, President Kiir said he would lead the dialogue, but Gideon says the president should not be in the driver's seat because it would send the wrong message.
When President Salva announced the national dialogue, I know in good faith, but unfortunately put himself as the convener. I mean, some of the issues that are going to be discussed in the national dialogue are issues connected to him as a president of the Republic, as a chairperson of the ruling party, as well as the commander-in-chief of the armed forces.
Francis Dabe, a former minister and member of parliament in the former Central Equatorial State and outspoken critic of the Kiir administration, says anyone other than the president should lead the dialogue.
In this scenario, you are the killer, the murderer of your own communities that have gone away into other countries. Here you want to be the one presiding in, you know, the peace agreement, I mean the national dialogue. Now, how come? He is not supposed to be the person in charge of the national dialogue.
Gideon says many people believe that if the president remains at the helm, he would mobilize state instruments, including security operatives, to intimidate opponents and inhibit the free expression of ideas.
Majority opinion shows that they are not having a good faith in the ongoing national dialogue due to the fact that President Salva is the convener of the process and he is the accused in one way or another, and that there is no level security and political ground for such discussion, and that instead of it to be a true national dialogue, an inclusive national dialogue, it will turn out just to be a monologue where the clique, the ruling clique, will just renew their political legitimacy.
With President Kiir still in charge, Dabe believes a national dialogue is meaningless.
You are initiating a dialogue with who? Your civilians are fleeing your country for refuge. In Uganda, we have more than 800 refugees flowing every day from South Sudan, go to Kenya, go to everywhere. More than half of the population already has left the country. With whom are you engaging now in bringing peace? And to make it worse, his forces are killing innocent civilians every day.
Reverend Simba says South Sudan's leaders must put the interests of the people first and end the suffering now.
And then we want to say to our people, this is our prayer. Let us just calm down. We stop the war. We stop the bloodshed. It's enough. We want to say enough is enough.
Pastor Simba says the people want to see real peace, not more talk about peace. For VOA News, I'm Simon Peter Piku in Kampala.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. At least two people were killed and three others injured yesterday after President Salva Kiir fired Imatong State Governor Narticia Luluke-Munir. Acting Governor Margaret Ito confirmed clashes erupted at the governor's residence in the state capital, Torit, just moments after the president's decree sacking Governor Munir was televised. President Kiir said Munir's replacement will be Tobiolo Albiario, the former Eastern Equatoria State Assembly Speaker. One of the two people killed during the clashes between Munir's bodyguards and government forces at the governor's residence was a doctor. Tensions remain high in the town. Shops, public offices, and schools all remained closed today. Acting Governor Ito ordered all public offices to open for business tomorrow and called yesterday's violence an isolated incident. A Torit resident who refused to be identified for fear of government reprisal says she doesn't feel safe since the deadly violence erupted close to her home. The UN mission spokesman in South Sudan says he is worried about recent fighting in the greater Upper Nile region. UNMISS spokesman Daniel Dickinson says the thousands of civilians have fled their homes because of continued fighting between government forces and the armed opposition there. He says this latest round of clashes between government and armed opposition groups occurred in Awachi and Tunga villages of Pereng County. Dickinson says the violence, which began last week, caused humanitarian aid groups to halt their operations in the area. He says military operations are happening on the west bank of the Nile, where the Shilluk mostly live, forcing them to flee. Government and opposition officials accuse each other of starting the fighting. And finally, many women are welcoming President Kiir's order to kill rapists, saying it's long overdue. Others say killing rapists will not end the violence against women, and they say rapists should be arrested, tried in a court of law, imprisoned for several years to deter others from that kind of violence. President Kiir reiterated his shoot-to-kill order of rapists to military and security officials while in the town of Ye earlier this week. He was there to try to reassure residents that the government is determined to restore peace in the area. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Urukundo by Kidum.
Nimbari kuno kuno mona Nabonyuru kundari maindagu Nabonyaru findo Nakunzu morondo Nabwembandi sese Sinamubu hinga nubu menyini tangisikanwa Temera kubiki matichu kundo Temeru rufu kwabanu Kwemera ziru kwisera murukundo mfukani
Murukundo zatubera ugele
Murukundo urukundo
Zatubera ushikira mangiko kwifuma bazi
Murukundo
zatubera ugele
Warukundo, warukundo gukutizo
Zatubera ushikira mangiko kwifuma bazi
Mamera bare nikera mye
Kirato, kigahengama
wiyima wisonze situli kumukanda ukorijoro n'umurango ukingira inyungu z'umuryango.
We have been listening to Kidum with the song Rukundo, which means love in Kinyarwanda. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy your weekend, and please join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.